Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the allegedly irradiated. I say allegedly irradiated because we stopped testing the seawater for radiation about 18 months ago. Just after the radiation started to spike. So you never have any idea what the heck it's like now, which is why the economy in New Zealand is going so well, because everybody now has supplementary income from their part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest today is Ryan Dawson. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Can you tell us a little bit about recent developments in the news? I hear that, two things that we've gone through. Robin Williams just died.
That is depressing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I had to look that up because there's so many celebrity death hoaxes that I had to make sure, and yeah, it seems that he killed himself.
He killed himself? Because I've not even looked into this at all. I just heard about it literally like about 3 minutes ago from one of my listeners, and it's really strange because the last week I've been really, really sick with a badass man cold. You can probably still hear a little bit of it in my voice. And I heard this study that those who watch comedy have about 40% higher antibodies. And so I started watching all the stand-up comedy and that kind of thing as well, drinking Lemonwort and whatnot. And one of them was Robin Williams' Weapons of Self-Destruction. And a couple of days after I see him on stage, delivering some great biting commentary and everything like that, he up and kills himself.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. I think his daughter and I have the same birthday, but they, I know he took Christopher Reeve's test really hard. They were roommates in college, and he had some alcohol problems, but I thought he'd gotten over those, but apparently it was suicide. But of course, this is according to the police, and they kill people all the time, but I don't think he was killed by the cops. I think he was depressed for a while and decided to take his own life, which is really sad and ironic when a comedian does it, but they're just people like anyone else and subject to the same hard things as anyone else, too.
Well, I spoke to four Kiwi comedians on an episode I did about a month ago, and one of the conversations revealed a very interesting thing about comedians. They're very, very sensitive and aware people, and in so doing, the reason why they actually make jokes about everyday situations and the things they see around them is because they're intelligent enough to know that everything around them pisses them off, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the more awareness you have, the more things you recognize as things that anger you. And they react, and as a survival mechanism, turn these things that they hate, these things that they fear, these things that make them incredibly aggressive, into comedy. and I think it's sort of like walking the razor's edge. It's like Dante said, you know, if you look into hell long enough, it starts staring back at you sometimes.
Yeah, I think intelligent people have a higher rate of suicide in general. I don't know if that's true, but I definitely think comedians have to be very smart and very well aware of what's going on with current events. And a lot of them are political. Actually, the comedy shows in the U.S. have better news commentary than the news shows. It would be better to listen to Jon Stewart or John Oliver than it would be to tune in to Fox, that's for sure.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because I just finished watching the Jon Stewart origin story published by Bloomberg, and people have been telling me for a while that I'm like New Zealand's version of Alex Jones, and I was like, I'm really not.
It's not a compliment.
If anything, I'm New Zealand's Jon Stewart. And, you know, I had a look at his origin story and how he started and how he runs his show and all this kind of stuff. And it's like tick, 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 tick. It's exactly my same methodology. And I didn't even know he did it that way.
He was the commencement speaker at my college graduation. And I was on his show a couple times.
You got on the Jon Stewart show, bro.
Well, my videos did. I wasn't there in person.
Oh, well, you know, it could be worse, isn't it? Now, there's also, moving on, Gaza. Ceasefire, you say?
Well, for 72 hours. And this one, there was the original one didn't include Hamas. They just Sisi, the dictator in Egypt, and the Israelis decided to create one. That little bloodsucker, Tony Blair, took part in that. And, of course, Hamas had to shoot it down because the demands were completely unrealistic. It didn't change anything. They just wanted Hamas to disarm, and Hamas wants to lift the blockade, which is not really a demand since the blockade's already internationally illegal anyway. They're not asking Israel to give up anything. They're just telling them to stop occupying them.
Now, I heard, just like most of the false flag terrorism events and terrorist groups and things like that, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, blah, IRA, etc., they're all set up by basically the people that they attack, right? You know, IRA was set up by MI5, Al-Qaeda was set up by the CIA, and it turns out, or at least allegedly, maybe you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but Hamas was partly set up by Mossad. And I thought about
Saw the Israeli government outright the whole thing. It wasn't even a secret. They financed Hamas as an alternative to the PLO, which is secular. They preferred to deal with religious fanatics because Israel doesn't want peace. They can't even claim to want peace. You can't want peace while you're simultaneously colonizing your neighbors.
Yeah.
They wanted peace. They'd quit bulldozing down houses and shooting kids.
Yeah. And so Israel goes, oh my God, we're firing rockets at ourselves. Let's fire rockets back at ourselves.
Well, this thing got kick-started because of the three kidnapped teenagers, which Hamas didn't even do. And since when do you collectively condemn a whole society or country because of an individual crime? If somebody
killed
somebody in Canada, Canada wouldn't invade the United States over it, you know. Yeah. It's sad that these three settlers were killed, but Hamas didn't do it. The Gaza Strip sure as hell didn't do it. It was in Hebron anyway, in the West Bank where it happened. But what the Israelis did is they went around and they arrested over 700 people. They murdered 10 people. They destroyed two houses in looking for the murderers of these three teenagers, even though they already knew they were dead and they already knew who did it. Then, and the rockets, and you got to put that in square quotes, were fired. And then, of course, Israel responds by shooting actual missiles into residential zones, blowing up hospitals, schools, UN centers, you name it, kids on the beach. And, of course, they find out later Hamas didn't kill the kids anyway.
But have you ever been out at a bar and some enormous, hulking, brutal whatever starts being a bit of a douchebag to you? And he's not laying a finger on you, not yet, but he's still on at you. And he's hoping, praying, desiring that you just lay one finger on him, just one finger, anything to give them the excuse to pound you into the ground. That's Israel.
Yeah, Israel evoked it. Well, it's on top of all the arrests and the homes they destroyed and the people they killed. There's still the ongoing occupation of the West Bank and the blockade of Gaza anyway. And they have a right for self-determination. And if they want to try and fire these glorified fireworks or potato guns at Israel, they can.
Well, I love how they call them rockets.
It's ineffective, but that's not the purpose of the rockets.
Well, you know, and it's basically just a pipe with fertilizer. They don't even explode. Okay.
They don't have warheads. They don't have propulsion systems.
They don't have guidance
in the air.
I mean, really. I mean, what are you going to do? It's like one step up from chucking rocks at a tank.
Yeah, which they do too. They throw rocks at tanks.
You know, but does that work? Apparently, because I saw an episode of The Walking Dead one time, and they were being rolled on with a tank, and I was just sitting there thinking, how the hell are these guys with their machine guns and whatnot going to destroy a tank? And lo and behold, he throws a grenade down the barrel of it. Boom! I thought about, you know, shove a rock down a tank barrel and then try and get them to fire at you. Those tank crew aren't going to get out of there in a hurry, mate. They'll be dead.
Well, you'd have to completely block the nozzle. Otherwise, it would just push the rock out, too. But, yeah, there's nothing they can really do to a tank. They can shoot the operators if they lift the lid, but there's very little they can do. Tanks aren't really used so much in modern warfare anymore as much as armored vehicles. It's kind of an outdated weapon. We keep building them anyway because they make a lot of money. But the point of the rockets is not to... They know it's not going to land. They know it's not going to do any damage. Even before Iron Dome, those rockets never did anything. I mean, the casualty rate in 2009, I think there were 3 Israeli civilians killed. And this time, same, 3 civilians killed. 64 soldiers killed, however. And so the Iron Dome hasn't really stopped any more of these rockets than before, because they are already useless in terms of causing damage physically. But what they do is they cause damage economically and psychologically, because you have the Israelis running around getting in shelters, and of course tourism is over. Nobody's going to Israel right now because of the fear of the rockets. And so that's what it does. And so Israel does have to get them to quit firing them. And that's the real purpose of them firing them, is to force Israel to come in on the ground where the Palestinians actually have a chance at hitting back, because they don't have an air force. They don't have a navy, and Israel can sit up all day and blow up their homes from far away from their gunships and their American finance F-15s and F-16s. But if they force them in on the ground, then Hamas has a chance at actually shooting back at Israeli soldiers. And they've killed 64, 65 of them so far. And that's about all it takes before Israel quits. We saw that in 2006 when they invaded Lebanon and were bombing the Christian areas of Beirut and then killed over 1,000 civilians in that war. Israel lost 100 soldiers and they quit because the Jewish mothers were out in the streets saying, oh, wait. They don't want to actually sacrifice anything because they don't really have a cause for other than ethnic cleansing.
Yeah. What was it, when U.S. senators, congressmen, etc. say, let's go to war, somebody suggested that there should be a law passed requiring anybody who votes in favor of a war to send at least one of their children to fight in it on the front lines. and like, how much longer would America keep starting illegal foreign wars? It'd stop just like that. And I thought to myself, you know what? I think that there's an incredible amount of hypocrisy here. Now, if you're going to, like, just stop a war because, oh, 100 of our children got killed, you don't stop a war because, oh, we killed 1,000 children pretty quickly.
100 soldiers were killed.
Yeah.
Children. Of course, they call them children, and when they're captured, they say they're kidnapped. They're captured. And that war got started because a couple soldiers got captured in Lebanon across the border, you know, in another country.
Illegally.
Yeah, and then they said they were kidnapped, which was a farce.
Now,
they never did get them back, and they lost that war.
I've spoken to a number of people who are still pro-Israel, and they're insane. All right, that's my honest assessment of the situation. Mind-controlled insanity. Incapable of thought, like, incapable of compassion, incapable of even looking at evidence that's contrary to their current belief. It's just simply...
It's ethnic tribalism. They're just like, I'm on that team because either they have racial similarities or they identify with the religion. They can't really look at the facts and see. Israel has Jewish-only cities that they've built on land that they took by force with bulldozers and machine guns from the people who had private property rights who were living there. They just murdered him and pushed him out, and they built Jewish-only cities with Jewish-only highways and Jewish-only schools, etc., in the West Bank. And they've blockaded Gaza. They've put them on a calorie diet. And they can arrest people. I mean, name an abuse. Israel's guilty of it. Who the hell wouldn't fire rockets at any country that did that? If any country did that to their neighbors, it would start a war.
Yeah.
But...
Well, hold on a second, because on this other point here, I'm not sure if people realize that Israel's constantly firing into Gaza and the West Bank on a daily basis anyway, right? Aren't they?
Well, the fact that they're even there, I mean, that there are Jewish-only colonies in the West Bank. They're not in Israel. These are across Israel's internationally recognized border where they just squat there by force and have a standing army to protect them. And the settlers can go out and commit any crimes they want, and if anybody retaliates or defends himself, the IDF, the police force, will go and arrest them or kill them. But the settlers can shoot people, they can burn their crops, they can vandalize their property, they can do whatever they want, because they're the self-proclaimed chosen race of God.
Yeah, and, you know, if anything, I'm starting to believe that they are the chosen people of God. Here's why. In the Bible, God killed over 3 million people, and Satan killed, like, 17. So who would be God's chosen people? The ones who are mass murderers like him, or the ones who, you know, just a few people here or there?
Yeah, I mean, he wiped out the entire earth with the flood story. That wasn't just people, that was everything. But yeah, that's the Jewish God, though. I mean, that's a God invented by Hebrew slaves at the time, and usually mythologies reflect the resentments or accomplishments of the people who make them up. That's why a lot of the Greek gods were heroic, going on quests and things, and a lot of the Norse gods were warriors because they were made up by warriors. And slaves make up slave gods, and they have a very paternal relationship where, you know, God is master and you're a peon, because that's all they know. And you see a lot of environmental gods, too. The Egyptians worship the sun because they live in a desert. People in Hawaii worship a volcano because they live next to one, and so on.
Yeah. Well, you basically worship whatever's around you. And now, people worship Justin Bieber, you know?
I finally found out who he was, like, this year, because I kept hearing his name.
Yeah. You know, and you don't need to. You don't even need to look very closely. You know, it's just like, oh my god, and it's kind of like the cookie cutter effect, right? Hollywood's got this. You know, the music industry's got this. They all look the same, sound the same, and they sing about the same kind of crap, and they're all just as vain scum. I wanted to say scum, but bugger it. It's scum.
Yeah, yeah. I know, the cookie cutter effect, but the insanity of Israeli supporters is something just to take a couple steps back and look at and go, wow. Because it doesn't matter. I mean, they could get up on stage and eat a baby and they'd still support him. They'd go, human shield, that baby's a human shield. I mean, it's just nothing that's going to shake them. And we've seen this where, hell, the U.S. is now bombing Iraq again. They've already killed a million Iraqis.
Hmm.
They already starved to death, probably near a million, before in between the two wars, the two Gulf Wars, both of which were started on lies. You had the babies on incubators for the first one, and then you had weapons of mass destruction lies for the second one. And now they're, you know, again, they're trying to say, well, we're going in to save the Kurds, which they said last time, which is totally disingenuous. The whole reason there are so many Kurds in northern Iraq to begin with This is because the United States and others supported the ethnic cleansing of the Kurds in Turkey. Turkey was that the height, the peak of the ethnic cleansing of Kurds in Turkey was in 1997, and the peak of U.S. aid to Turkey was in 1997. They got the second; they were the second largest aid recipient, of course, after Israel, for those years while they were murdering the Kurds who ended up fleeing to northern Iraq. Usually, it's Egypt because they were paying off Mubarak to look the other way. Now Sisi's in there. He's a dictator too. He hates Hamas. He's closed off the tunnels that go to Egypt. And those tunnels were built for trade. And the reason, because they have no other way to get anything in and out of Gaza because of the blockade. That's why the tunnels aren't going towards Israel. They were going towards Egypt and they were closed off. So that's why you'll see during the ceasefire, Hamas is going to say, you have to lift the blockade. You can have a UN-supervised seaport, but they have to be allowed to have trade. Israel went around bombing chicken farms and agricultural centers just before the ceasefire. They're trying to starve them. They don't want that. The real threat that Palestine is just a demographic threat. There are more Arabs than Jews, and Israel wants a Jewish state. And what they mean by that is not religion and culture, but racially, they want a Jewish state, and they want to be the majority. They should have thought about that a little longer before they decided to land in the middle of the Middle East in the 40s.
I want a place where only people with my own race are. What's this place over here? Place completely surrounded by totally opposite and different races that will hate you? Mate, this sounds perfect. What are we waiting for?
The thing is,
have you ever noticed that when the government says, that any government, that sacrifices have to be made, they're never talking about self-sacrifice, you know?
Of course not.
And
about poor people.
and whenever you criticize Israel, they call you anti-Semitic, which I think is actually insulting to the other 11 tribes of Israel who aren't Semites.
Yeah, it's so sad. I mean, there's so many children have died. Over 2,000 people have died, and that kind of bothers me too when people say women and children. But what about the men? I mean, if you're an unarmed person and you're getting killed, I don't think it's any worse for a woman to die than a man. It's not like ancient warfare, which was based on upper body strength, swinging swords or something. I mean, this is just somebody pushes a button and you blow up and die. But the children, for sure, I mean, they never even had a chance to have a life. And Israel doesn't care how many Palestinian children die. And for them to even pretend like, oh, well, we were firing at Hamas and we ended up just slaughtering hundreds of human shields when they're taking out whole neighborhoods. It's total bullshit because they routinely bulldoze down houses in the West Bank, residential houses that have children in them, and they could care less whether they die or become homeless. Or they don't care because they're not Jewish. And they really, it's a racist state that is annexed territory. It's a colonial, manifest destiny-style regime. It's worse than South Africa used to be.
Incidentally, I think South Africa has one of the highest murder rates in the world right now, since becoming a non-apartheid state. And a lot of the white South Africans are now leaving because it's just too freaking dangerous.
Well, that's another thing, not just in South Africa, but in Rwanda and many parts of Africa, Rhodesia, a lot of white farmers are being attacked and having their properties burned, and whites are being murdered. And if you talk about that, you're racist. Just like if you criticize Israel, you're anti-Semitic. And people can't see, look, murder is wrong. It doesn't matter if whites are killing blacks or blacks are killing whites or Jews are killing Arabs or the other way around. Stop killing people. But when you defend the majority, let's say, then they'll call you racist. Yes, there are more blacks in Africa than there are whites, and there are more Arabs in the Middle East than there are Jews. But that doesn't give the minority the right to murder people. Mm. And it doesn't give anyone the right to murder anybody. It's simple. A 5-year-old can figure that out.
Yeah. And he knows. He's got one, ladies and gentlemen. And also, this reminds me of a conversation I was having with a communist. And the great thing about arguing with communists is they assume that because you're arguing against them that you're automatically a pro-capitalist, right? And that you approve of illegal wars and you love America and you hate terrorists and stuff like that. And you basically, and I was like, come on. All right.
Yeah, it's like criticizing Obama, so you must love Bush.
Oh, no, criticizing Obama, so you're criticizing the President of the United States, therefore you're racist, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you never had that defense for the last, like, 200 presidents or whatever the hell.
Right.
I know, well, what is it, like 67 presidents? Who cares? They're a dime a dozen and they're all freaking related anyway. It matters not. And what this conversation was about genocide, extermination, gun control, things of that nature. And I'm making the point about how gun restriction and things of that nature, invariably in gun ban zones, especially in the US, murder rates go up right after the guns have been banned. And on top of that, every time I've looked at a country that was like, say, a communist dictatorship, before exterminating large quantities of people, they banned their guns. And this was the whole idea. And you know what this communist argument against me was?
Right.
That capitalism has killed more people than communism. Right? And so I was asking you, so let me get this straight. If communism kills, like, say, 80 million people in China or something, and capitalism kills, like, 100 million people in America or something, are you saying that the Chinese are, like, better because they exterminate slightly less people?
Can't say either.
It's like, I love communist extermination, but those capitalists, mate, when they exterminate people, that's just over the top.
I mean, in both cases, it's when they say capitalists, it's they're really talking about plutocrats. And when they talk about communism, of course, you're talking about the state again. It's government killing people in both instances.
It's a demo side. And we'll give you a demonstration after the break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Ryan Dawson. Ryan, we really need to get you to put out your website and YouTube channel for people, please, if you can.
I'll do that, but I want to say something first. I think people listening should be donating to your show because I like going on shows and I like having a voice. And yes, I have a site and YouTube, but I just want to say something for actual alternative media in general. And I'm not talking about the Jonestown fear-mongering bullshit, let's say. But, you know, a lot of these people are working their asses off, Vinny included, and, you know, living on maybe $1,300 or so a month or maybe even a year.
It was $13,000 last year.
$13,000 last year, yeah, $11,000, $12,000. That's below the poverty line in most places. And there are so many people listening. If people would just give up $2 or $3 a piece, they'd be set. They could finance the entire thing for over a year and you'd have your real media. People are really sacrificing for that. I don't know if people say, well, you're getting paid. Like, by who? This is how you get out of corporate sponsored media, is to have crowdsourcing. You know, if everyone gives a little bit, then nobody's too important to be bossing everyone around. And yet everyone's also important at the same time because they're all giving pretty evenly. And people need to donate to alternative media. And Vinny's doing a good job. My site's, it's ANC, that's anti-neocon, ancreport.com. And then on YouTube, it's Rise 2 Cents, Cents as in like Sensei, Rise 2 Cents. or Ryan Dawson. If you Google it, it'll show, it'll pop up. But everything's on ancreport.com.
Now, it's funny because there's been a number of times where you've said something just before I was about to kind of say it, because I was about to appeal for donations as well. I was looking through my PayPal and my Kiwi Bank this morning and last night, and I was looking at this, like, I was actually quite surprised at just how many people, because I hadn't bothered to count in a long time, just how many people have an automatic payment set up. And on one day of the month that I saw, there's seven different people on one particular day who are all donating an automatic payment just into that one Kiwi Bank account, right? And mm-hmm. in some cases, I recognize the names and have actually spoken with some of these people, and they've been donating for me for 3 to 4 years or so. And what this, I was actually just kind of like, wow. I have been doing this a really long time, and the only reason I've been able to do this for a really long time is because a reasonable amount of people have been giving me a tiny little bit of what they earn themselves every month, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why I've got the country's most subscribed YouTube news channel. I even outranked the New Zealand Herald, which is the eighth largest website in the country. And I outrank their YouTube channel, okay? They're the biggest paper in the country. They're like our equivalent of New York Times. And I'm beating them by my freaking self because of, specifically, the listeners donating on a regular basis so that I can de-stress, all right? Because when you're worried about where meal 1, 2, and 3 per day is coming from, as I have had to do this last couple of months or so, the anxiety actually starts to creep in, and I notice that my workload drops very, very sharply. Like if I'm feeling really depressed because I'm hungry and there's no food, I don't work. You know, it's really strange, and I'm just busting my ass as hard as I can. And
I've
the other
been doing
element
it for 13 years before YouTube even existed or PayPal, and just paid out of pocket, but the last couple of years have been rough. They've been rough for lots of people, but I've skipped meals, and I know exactly how that is. But I don't think people understand how much of an impact their small donations have. They think, what are you going to do with $5 or something? Like, well, I'm going to eat. That's what I'm going to do.
That's a meal.
That's what we have. Yeah, it is, and it makes a big. It's a huge impact because you have enough people doing that, and you can look ahead and say, okay, well, I can pay my rent this month, so I can devote X number of hours to dig up and research and report on Iraq, Ukraine, Gaza, etc., or whatever is going on in the world. Or you don't have to do as much work in your other jobs or part-time jobs, and you can devote more time to the news media when your finances are settled. But when your finances are not settled, then you're divided and you can't do it as effectively. Hmm. And so it's worth it for everyone else. Is that the $5 probably is not going to break the bank for the person giving it away. But for the receiver, it's a huge deal because that could be $50 or $500, depending on how many people are doing that. And so I say, set up a reoccurring account on PayPal. Maybe it's $3, maybe it's $10, but you get to keep an alternative news source that actually tells the truth, or to the best of their ability, isn't going to lie to you. They might be wrong from time to time, but they're not going to lie. Whereas you can guarantee when you turn on the TV, that's nothing but state propaganda. I mean, watching the mass media cover Gaza was incredible. Sean Hannity's over there now. I saw his picture with Netanyahu, which was revealing because Netanyahu's about 5'5" and Hannity was only about an inch taller. So that means he's only about 5'6". They both have little dog syndrome, I think.
Well, I thought it was small man syndrome. I'm 6'4". I get that a lot. Oh,
the bigger you are, the harder you fall. It's like, dude, I'm not even, like, attacking you or even talking to you. You just come up to me randomly, drunkenly, with your little self trying to start a fight with me. Bro, come on.
I know. I deal with those people.
Well, how tall are you?
Well, especially in Asia, too. Oh, I'm a giant.
Could be 5 foot two and you'd be like 10 feet taller than everyone else.
They're not that small.
Anyway.
But yeah, my twin brother and I are both martial artists. And you just, yeah, I like, in general, I just like bigger people. They just seem to be more calm and chill. And small people have, not always, there's some really nice shorter people, but there is a kind of type, and they maybe ruin it for all the other short people, but they definitely have a chip on their shoulder and an attitude problem.
Well, I think that's probably because they used to be picked on for being short back in the day, and they developed a defensive mechanism of aggression in order to ward off any person stupid enough to continue giving them crap about their height. I do the same when people call me fat.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know the psychology of it, but I'm not really worried about that compared to the tribal loyalists who get up and apologize for Israel, even with all these dead kids. They just say human shields, like they've got kids strapped to wooden boards running around or something.
I think you used the wrong word there, bro. They never apologize for Israel. well, I mean, yeah, sorry is just not in the Yiddish dictionary.
Yeah, it's the old joke that Norman Finkelstein said one time. It was about the meat shortage, and he said, I think it was, there was a Zionist, and I think it was a Russian and a Polish person, I don't remember, but somebody said, excuse me, have you heard about the meat shortage? And the Russian said, what do you mean, what's meat or something like that? This is back when during the Cold War, where they had to wait in lines. And then the Polish person said, they said the same thing. Excuse me, have you heard about the meat shortage? And I hope I don't botch this joke, but they said, oh, well, what's the shortage? They were, maybe it was an American. They're like, what's the shortage? What do you mean? And then he went to the Israeli and said, excuse me, have you heard about the meat shortage? And the Israeli looked at him confused and said, what's excuse me? Because they never apologize. I mean, dead kids. And it just...
Those images of the...
Like, they're in the way. Like, okay, so the next time the police are chasing whoever, they should just call in an airstrike and blow up the whole block. Because that way, you know, they can save more lives of the cops. Because if they went in and tried to apprehend the criminal might shoot at them. So... the best thing to do when there's a car chase is just pull out a bazooka and blow up the whole area, and the hell with all the innocent people who die. Mm. I mean, that it's just crazy to just blow up civilian towns.
Can I make a point here?
Say, oh, well.
Uh-huh. We were talking before, you said something about women and children, and they report those as if the death of a man doesn't matter, you know? And I thought about this. What if the women and children died and the man was the only one who left? Right, you know, you think about the footage you've seen. I'm sure everybody has seen this, and if you haven't, I wouldn't recommend it. But the fathers in Gaza who are carrying around their dead children with their brains all over them, all over their shirt.
Yeah,
you know,
because I mean they're bombing houses while people are asleep in them, and they hit schools. So the father and mother probably survive because they don't go to school. The children do, and the Israelis have bombed schools. They bomb pediatric centers in the hospital, which are full of kids who are already hurt, and finish them off. It's disgusting. And let's say, oh, they're hiding rockets there. Really? So these rockets that don't land and aren't killing anyone, you're in such a hurry to get rid of those that you're going to kill thousands of civilians
in
to get
hospital.
A weapon. Yeah. To get a weapon that's not even a threat to you anyway.
It's like, that guy's got a pea shooter. Bomb that neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. He flicked me off, blew up his house. You know, like,
yeah.
It's so disgusting. And this is, and they like to start the story in the middle too by saying, well, those three teenagers were killed. Well, those three teenagers were killed by individuals, not by Palestine in general. And hello, all three of them were settlers. Do you know what that means? I mean, they're squatters anyway. They're living in their U.S. and German financed settlement, which is, I don't call them settlements. I call them racial colonies because that's what they are. And, you know, they wouldn't have been killed. And they, I'm not saying they were guilty of anything individually. They're just kids, but and probably brainwashed. And actually, the mothers of one of the victims was opposed to Israel's violence, which is telling. But they never would have been in that situation if they weren't part of an occupation of the West Bank.
Yeah.
People are pissed off when you demolish their homes and kill them. I mean, what would any other place do? How would the people behave? I can guarantee you, if Mexico took over part of Texas, that the people adjacent to it, or the people who were pushed out, would not just go home and watch TV. There would be violence.
Well, you know, it's actually a good point to make. Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen of America, you know, England, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, wherever the hell you are on this godforsaken English-speaking planet, think about this for a moment. Just imagine it. Close your eyes if you have to. You're sitting there and you're watching TV. And you got your family around you, you know, maybe you just had dinner. And all of a sudden a couple of guys with guns burst into your house and they execute your family in front of you. What would you do? How would you feel? Then imagine it wasn't just you. Imagine they did it to your neighbors as well. Imagine they did it to your whole neighborhood. Imagine you walked out the next day and the beautiful streets that your taxes paid for are torn up. The power poles come down. The houses are demolished. There's no food. There's no shelter.
95% of the drinking water is undrinkable.
Just about to say drinking water as well. I'm like connected on this one. Yeah. So you know, at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, it's about empathy.
Houses with swimming pools and things that have stolen your water, with these ardent races, who are guarded by, you know, men with guns and towers and things, and then they start building a wall through your yard or where your house used to be, and you turn on the TV if you could find one. And they're calling you a terrorist.
Yeah. Okay, so at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, it's about one thing and one thing only. Empathy. Do you know what psychopaths don't have that normal human beings do? Empathy. Are you a psychopath? Do you care about the sanctity of human life, any human life? Then you will probably be against Israel. If you are a psychopathic, narcissistic, horrific, callous, mind-controlled individual, you think Israel doing nothing wrong. They're just defending themselves. All right? So, basically, those people are just parasites, and they're horrific, evil, terrible, unapologetic, cruel, torturing, murdering, filth. All right,
they call it mowing the lawn.
I can't even fathom the whole idea. Did you see the pictures of these Israelis standing up on the frickin' rise, drinking beer, eating popcorn, and watching the bombs go off on these frickin' children's houses?
Yeah. You see that, and there have been protests. There are protests in Tel Aviv where some Israelis are opposing the violence, and of course, that's not going to be on TV. It was in some Israeli papers and things, but there's better coverage in Israel than there is in the U.S. I mean, in the U.S., Israel says jump, and they say off of what?
Well, but there's something like there's 19 different news filters that you have to go from Israel to get into broadcasting in America. Something like that. I watched a documentary on it. It's unbelievable.
Well, the U.S. Senate voted 100-0 to give another $225 million to Israel on top of the $3.5 billion they already give them.
What for?
And I want to make clear that these are not loans. This is
a gift.
The loans are forgiven every single year. They're forgiven loans. So they just gave away money. But it's earmarked so that 75% of the money that is given away to Israel is spent on U.S. arms. So that's how they pay. It's for military gear.
Corporate welfare.
But it's corporate welfare with a theme. That's all. They're just using Israel as a medium to give more money to Lockheed Martin and so on.
You know, if they're going to do a theme, you know, Rocky Horror Picture Show, something of that. Rockefeller Horror Picture Show? I don't know.
Yeah, well, the main street in the capital of Israel is the Rothschilds Road, and they have Rothschilds on Israeli money.
I stole a street sign that I'm looking at right now called Rothschild Terrace.
Yeah?
I stole it off Waiheke Island, bro. And down the bottom of Rothschild Terrace on Waiheke Island, there's two pyramid-shaped houses with twin Masonic pillars that apparently the Rothschilds used to live in, and they were built like in late 1800s, turn of the century, 1900s kind of thing. And allegedly, and this is on an island, right, off the coast of Auckland, New Zealand, allegedly what these houses were really for was their fallback position, you know, if they got exposed or their plans to institute the World Bank or any of this other crap kind of went sour, you know, they just head off into the middle of frickin' nowhere and just live out there. But, you know.
Well, you have an alternative challenging the IMF and World Bank with the BRICS trying to start their own bank, but I'm just worried that they're going to play the same game, but at least there'll be competition.
Yeah, my opinion is that the IMF's just going to throw the BRICS through the window.
I hate the IMF. That's another thing, like we focus on the bombing in Gaza, the bombing in Iraq, which has restarted again, but really the main killer are still the banks, the IMF. When you look at the rampant starvation all over Africa, this is preventable. It's not like they have a shortage of labor or food. They can't buy the food because they are so in debt to these international banks.
It becomes pretty obvious.
They want to keep the third world the third world.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it.
Well, and they also want to turn the first world into the third world and bring the third world into maybe the second world or whatever. But what this reminds me of is you have any conversation with anybody about war or whatever, you kind of hit it on the head, bro. It's the banking system right into it. I recall I was at a party one time a number of years ago, and this guy was from Yugoslavia, and I said, yeah, you remember that big conflict in Yugoslavia? Banker's son? And he's like, oh, I don't think bankers had anything to do with it. And I said, really? And he's like, yeah. And I go, did they use military, you know, like guns, bullets, bombs, planes, any stuff like that? And he goes, yeah. How did they pay for that? Well, you know, they bought them. With whose money? Well, with their own money, really. Do they have a private central bank? And you're like, well, yeah, they do. And so they don't actually create their own money. They only just get their money loaned back to them at interest to purchase weapons that they're killing people that haven't actually done anything, committing war crimes or whatnot. It's like, yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, I'm leaving this conversation.
Yeah, it's their own money loaned back to them at interest, but who ends up paying for that? The public at large.
The slaves with the birth certificates.
Taxes, yeah, exactly. And that's really clear. And I think the writing's on the wall. And I'm hoping with this ceasefire, temporary ceasefire, 72 hours, that the blockade can be lifted. What I fear will happen is that they don't want to deal with Hamas because it'll be seen as a loss. So they're going to try and negotiate with the Palestinian Authority instead, who's a bought and paid for puppet. I'm a fan of Hamas either. I just say, you know, the lesser of two evils in between those two. Because at least they're trying to do something for the Palestinians. And unfortunately, violence is the only recourse because they've done everything else. Israel doesn't care.
Well, I don't think anything works. And it's like, what are we going to do? Give up and die? And it's like, no, you don't really have much of a choice, eh? It's like, accept your servitude and accept that you're going to be slowly but steadily exterminated through disease, discrimination, famine, and resource extraction.
Well, they're putting sanctions on Russia over this plane, one commercial airliner, which Russia didn't even do. They're blaming it on ethnic Russians in the Ukraine without really any evidence other than Twitter and YouTube. But they don't put sanctions on Israel after they murder 2,000 civilians in a cyclical event and occupy their neighbors and blockade them. They're guilty of so many war crimes and breaking so many international laws. But rather, not only do they not get sanctions, they're given money. They're given extra money because of their attacks. And you have senators and news people flying over to Israel. Bloomberg from New York, Emperor Bloomberg was over there. Sean Hannity's over there. And they're just up there kissing the wall, wearing the yarmulkes and everything else. They love it. But they will put sanctions on a country that's not even involved, really, directly, over one airplane crash. And so it just shows you they don't care about humanity, or they try and use these pretexts. You know, we're doing this for humanity. We're bombing for humanity. They don't care about humanity. They care about money. And they care about the power structure, the world order as it is, and they want to keep it that way.
Yeah, or make it worse. You know, well, yeah. Chaos, order out of chaos. You know, let's go for it. Okay, have we got peace? Yes, we've got peace. Wow, people don't want to change stuff when it's in peace. What if we made them really crap scared about getting blown up or something like that by a widely perceived direct external threat? Well, they'll probably do anything you say, as long as you say that you're going to save their ass and don't, you know, show any evidence of it and what have you to keep them in suspense during the time. And they go, all right, you twisted my arm.
Yeah, and it's chaos, intentional chaos, because you'll see in Syria, the ISIS fighters that they're bombing now in Iraq are the same individuals who they financed when they were killing people in Syria. And so they cross a magical line in the desert, and now suddenly they're bad for chopping the heads off of kids and stuff. Whereas when they were chopping the heads off of kids before and mutilating genitals, we kept sending them money and weapons and blaming it all on Assad, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said before, CIA financed Al-Qaeda, and then people got really bored of hearing, oh, Al-Qaeda, because it got exposed as being part of the CIA. Well, and then they changed it to
Al-Qaeda. ISIS was Al-Qaeda in Iraq originally, then they were Al-Qaeda in Syria.
Now, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it was a marketing decision. It was a marketing decision, okay? People aren't afraid of the word Al-Qaeda anymore, so we need something else, something spooky sounding. Yeah, let's change it to ISIS, all right? And then
they have beards.
Yeah, yeah. And then after a while, after people get bored with being scared of ISIS, they'll change the name again to just Iz.
Yeah, it'll be something else. But listen, I gotta go. I got a phone ringing in the back there. But
we actually that's actually the exact end of the segment.
Well, I appreciate coming on and anytime. And people, go over to ANC Report. And check out my podcast. We're going to be talking about this again tomorrow. And I'll also be talking more about Iraq, Russia, Ukraine, geopolitics, etc. And do consider setting up a reoccurring payment to Vinny or myself. But today is for the Vinny Eastwood Show. It doesn't take that much, folks. And you get to keep this alternative media on the air. And like you said, he's kicking ass in New Zealand. So keep it up.
Hope you enjoyed it, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime.